WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube MultiCare back out on the road. We're in a little bit of a hiatus here. We're in Purple Festivus time right now. I was at Costas the other night. My wife had crab soup. I said, no crab for me until February, until we win the Super Bowl. I'm a little bit, you know, I was going to do a shaving strike, but I'm crab cake free. We're going to be doing Crab Cake Row in lieu of Radio Row, where we broadcast from 27 Super Bowls. This year, we're going to be doing it differently for charity. We'll be telling folks about that. It'll be beginning on February the 5th, and I'll have free lottery tickets and free soup for those of you out there. We're going to be doing a good turn for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank and helping feed some less fortunate folks during the coldest months of the year. This guy's done some charitable work, including spending time with me. It's always charitable when he comes in from Cleveland and he just drops knowledge here everywhere. You remember him as the voice of home team sports many, many moons ago as our Orioles broadcaster. He has gone on to call college football, call NBA games, call college basketball all over the Midwest and all over the country, really. But he's still in Cleveland. I've had him on many times. Every time I have Michael Reguy on, I sort of pre-promoted this on Monday because Reguy, you know, I do a lot of things at Baltimore Positive now. I've been thrown out by the Chad Steele and the Ravens. So I've been excommunicated by the National Football League, like Colin Kaepernick after 28 years. So I don't get to see as many of my media buddies and sports buddies and press box and all that after all these years. So I'm loading up right now on sort of my favorite people this month for our 25th anniversary, brought to you by Curio and Foreign Daughter. And every time I say Michael Reguy's coming on, I was bragging this week that I have all these great guests coming on. People are like, man, I loved him in Oriole game. How's he doing? And I'm like, how you doing? What's going on, right, guy? How are things in Cleveland, man, other than Flacco?
Yeah, baby. It's all about Joey right now. But I'm loving your Baltimore Positive, man. That screenshot looks fantastic. You're looking good, and it's always a delight and pleasure to be with you, my man. So let's rock. Let's talk some NFL.
Listen, man,
let's
for those Flacco. Of you watching out there, he made me take my hair out.
Yeah.
He saw it. He's like, I need to see the rock and roll. So, listen, I this whole thing of being the front runner, the bye week, the Ravens are expected to win the Super Bowl, right? And then there are places like Cleveland, Detroit, which is your original homeland, and you can speak about the Lions and going back to Plimpton, for crying out loud, because you're a few years older than me.
Here you go, baby.
Yeah, I mean,
see the Lions lid?
Look, you made the look at you. All right, you look like Eric Hipple, is what you look like.
Can I go with the Gary Danielson?
I was going to give you a Danielson reference. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but no, man, you gotta rep the hometown, man. Born and raised in the D. Spent my first 18 years through high school there. So, yeah, man, wouldn't it great to – would you like to see either – I know you'd like to see – how about a Lions-Ravens Super Bowl for all my good friends in Charm City?
Well, listen, I called you to get on the Flacco and the Cleveland thing, but let's speak about this for a minute because – first off, I have friends that live in Detroit. I know Detroit people. I've been going. Tiger Stadium's one of my all-time favorite places that I ever went to see anything. But back in the 90s, when I was syndicated, I would go out there. It was always hockey town, hockey town, hockey town, and the Octopus. And I was there for a playoff game, like all at the Joe, all of that. And the Pistons, bad boys. And I'm Kirk Gibson and Les Filling tastes great out in Tiger. Like, I remember all the Detroit stuff that you would remember. But then Jim Schwartz got hired as the Lions coach, and he and I are friends, and we'll talk about him on your side of the fence in Cleveland as well. And he said to me, he just bought his place in Eastern Shore, and it was the summer he got the job. And he said to me, you'd be shocked to know this, but like the Lions own Detroit. Like he said, all the free press and the clicks that we, and this is 15 years ago. He's like, the Lions are the most popular team in Detroit. They just never win. Like, and you would never know that because there's no dog pound or this or that. They've never won. They've never been in a Super Bowl. They haven't threatened to really be in a Super Bowl. They haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. Like, all of that stuff. He's like, if they ever win as the coach, he's like, if they ever win, they are the most popular. And then I see, like, they're playing the 8 o'clock game on Saturday night, right? They're playing the Rams. That there is a brand there for the Lions that – everybody's tried to awaken from Wayne Fine, like going through all these guys, Bobby Ross, all that. But like this for the Lions, for Detroit, We've never seen an awakening for that franchise.
Yeah. You mentioned Hockey Town, of course. Yes, the bad boys, the Pistons, and of course, the Gibson, Sparky Anderson, and the 84 Tigers. But make no mistake, Detroit is a football city, Nestor. I mean, I stopped my dad, a Detroit cop, my uncle, a Detroit fire captain, started taking me to Lions games in the late 50s when I was 3, 4, 5 years old. So, you know, at Old Tiger Stadium, man, nothing like it.
It's what made you the man you are, right? You went as a kid.
Oh, hell
to
yeah.
That's my dad. My dad took me to Baltimore Colts games. I saw Joe Namath on the first day I ever saw a game in 1973. And here I am. And that's the way kids are, right? I mean, the Lions were a love of yours, huh?
No question. Absolutely about it. And like I said, when you got a dad that's a 30-year Detroit cop, vice cop, I mean, listen, I was all about growing up there. I wouldn't trade it in for anything. It was phenomenal. It made me think the first time I was able, when I was calling the Orioles, I went to a Ravens game at Old Memorial Stadium. And I said, this reminds me of growing up in my childhood. The NFL at Memorial reminded me of growing up and watching the Lions at Tiger Stadium. So, you know, I mean, listen, there's nothing like it. And I got a feeling that these playoffs, Nestor, are going to be phenomenal. And I don't need to tell you, your guys got a hell of a shot to win an NFL championship this year.
I know you've been very close to LeBron and the NBA and all those years. And I called you and bugged you back when LeBron was losing and leaving and then winning and coming back and then being the hometown, the Akron kid and all that stuff. I mean, your family went through that. And I remember you telling me your kids just were over the moon that there was a championship that they got to enjoy and be a part of. And you know, I've written 2 books now on the Ravens, right? I mean, Purple Rain 1, Purple Rain 2. This is a whole different story here.
Yeah.
Flacco was the proletariat in my, tale of Purple Rain 2 and being all that. But, when you get this expectation of winning and Cleveland had it with LeBron for a period of time, when you're the best team and then you aren't the best team in the end, somehow, some way, this is a really special place for the Ravens to be right now with Lamar. And, Browns might be in the way. Flacco might be in the way, which is why I got on the phone with you.
Yeah, well, listen, Joe Flacco, and I first saw him, I think you know this, when he was quarterback in the Delaware Blue Hens, calling ESPN games, had Flacco when he was in college. So I saw him before he ever got to the NFL. I'll tell you what, Nestor, he has been absolutely phenomenal. Turns 39 years old this coming week. But what he's done and I'm going to use the term resurrect this Browns offense, because fifth quarterback they've used, and Nestor, they couldn't throw the damn ball at all after Deshaun Watson went down. And Flacco has brought a legitimate NFL passing game back that has to be respected. And I'm happy as hell for Joe, to be honest with you, because I don't need to tell you. I think he's a hell of a dude, hell of a good man, phenomenal guy. And what he's done, again, in the course of a season, to get this offense back to where it needs to be, at least be NFL level in terms of a passing game, he's been phenomenal.
Are they dangerous? I mean, in your mind, you watch a lot of sports, Michael Red Guy. Are they a danger in the regard to this? Saturday's the first game. It's a minute away, right? Whenever you're listening on AM 1570, they win the first game. They're the team we're going to play unless Buffalo or Kansas City really wet the bed this week. I mean, they certainly Kansas City should win. I mean, there's no reason a cold home beating up Dolphins coming in. Yeah, Pittsburgh, Mason Rudolph shouldn't be able to go into Buffalo. And I mean, shame on the Bills if they spit that up, but they're capable.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it's capable. It's possible. But there is it's this close to Joe Flacco coming back here with Jim Schwartz from Arbutus. He hates when I say Hale Thorpe or Catonsville. That's too Gucci for him. Arbutus. It's like I don't. I'm Dundalk is what I say. So he's Arbutus. There is something, and then beyond that, and I don't feel this because it's like an Indianapolis person not feeling what this means when they start talking about putting 56 throwbacks on, or when those creeps in Tennessee put my Oilers gear on to haunt those poor people in Houston. There's a point for the Cleveland fans and this Baltimore thing that they don't look at the when they see Lamar Jackson, they see Art Modell if they're old enough. In the same way, when I see the Colts, I see Bob Irsay to some degree, or Johnny U, even, or Lenny Moore, or whatever. But in your case, this would be this would be one of the monumental football games. People are asking me when the game is, and I'm thinking, well, if it's Flacco coming back and Browns versus Ravens and Lamar, it's going to be the 8 o'clock Saturday. I'm thinking, like, why wouldn't they want it to be that? Because there's no juicier storyline than if the Browns just hold their water in their defense and win this game.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably coming to Baltimore next week. I was thinking about calling you next week, but I thought, no, I want to get on this week before the Lions get eliminated. I'm sorry, before the Lions play.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think the NFL is just giddy with excitement. They've got the two matchups, as you mentioned, looking for the potential here now of Joe Flacco, as you said, going back to Baltimore and playing the Ravens. And they got Matthew Stafford coming into Ford Field in Detroit this week, 6-seed Rams, 3-seed Lions. I see they moved that to Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So, I mean,
boy, the Lions can't lose that game, right? That was 06 when we lost to the Colts. I mean, it was just the worst thing in the world if Matt Stafford would knock them out, right?
Yeah, well, and listen, man, I'm a big Matthew Stafford guy, always was. To me, the reason that there wasn't more success when he was quarterback in the Detroit Lions is because, quite honestly, he had to put up 35 points every week to win a damn game. Their defense was awful during the whole time that he was there, with the exception of maybe a year or two. That being said, though, I don't believe that Nestor would surprise me if the Browns were able to get to an AFC championship game, even with what Joe Flacco is doing. But as you said, you know, you get the way he's playing right now. He has revitalized the passing game. If they can continue to defend, they are one of the top five defenses in the NFL. That's going to be the key. Can they continue to defend and live up to what they've done? And, there's Jim Schwartz, as you talked about. And by the way, I love Schwartz. I'm like you, man. I just think this guy is phenomenal. Probably a better DC than he is a head coach, but that's cool. That's okay, because Schwartz has really come in and made this defense realize that they can be special, and that they have.
Michael Reguy is our guest. You remember him as the longtime voice of Home Team Sports and your Baltimore Orioles, and see you later. And he is he's back and having a little fun. So the Lamar thing from the outside, you're a football guy.
Yeah.
You tell me what you're still doing. You've called football games the last 15 weeks, right? Literally, right?
Yeah, I just call college football for ESPN, mostly since COVID now. I'm doing the American Athletic Conference and the Mid-American Conference, but
give me the kind of games. Give me the best game you saw this year.
Oh, best game I saw this year. Probably, let's see, Toledo and Miami. Okay. Called that one in the MAC. I enjoy doing the Mid-American Conference. Excellent conference, as is the American Athletic Conference. And
put a lot of guys in the NFL. I mean, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Then I'll do the Division II, Division III playoffs, you know, as we get up into December and near Christmas. I just love college football, Nestor. Is all my time in the NBA and in MLB with the Orioles. Football to me is still my main passion, the number one thing. And I just feel humbled that I still have the opportunity to call games.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys like you and Kenny Albert, I mean, I couldn't call one sport. They put me in a booth for soccer, and I can do a little color here and again, but the play-by-play thing, people would always say, hey, man, you talk fast. You can do play-by-play. And I'm like, I did a horse race once, a completely embarrassment, and I don't feel like I have any aptitude for it. You know, like, I feel like I could play the guitar. I don't know that I could play the piano. You know, I don't know that I feel – like, so play-by-play to me is, like, it's an incredible art form that I would never – excel at in one sport, let alone to be able to do it across I marvel at all of you who can do that and take a roster and get names right and numbers right. I had a hell of a time with seven horses.
Yeah, well, no, I understand, but buddy, I appreciate you saying that, because on behalf of everybody that does play-by-play, whether it's at the college level, the professional level, 1,000,000% with everything you just said. I mean, it It's not easy to do, you know, and I get it. People are going to be critical and what have you. But like I said, it's a passion of mine. And I always, always have those 8 years I did the Orioles, you know, right at the top of my food chain, because being there, there were many of those years they didn't succeed and weren't very successful. But to be able to be in Charm City and understand the Baltimore Orioles baseball tradition, that meant a lot to me. As someone who grew up in Detroit with another fabled, and as my childhood spent with the Tigers in MLB, another one of the truly outstanding major league franchises, just like the Orioles.
Yeah, you were here during a period of time when, you know, the place was full and rocking and TV and ratings and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lamar, if you're calling a game and your voice and you're doing the pregame, what do you say about Lamar at this point? Because I feel like two MVPs, different than anybody else for sure. But, boy, these next couple of hours of football, this is where, sadly, this is where Peyton Manning got judged. This is where Dan Marino, LeBron until he won. For anybody until they win, this is where it is. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he feels it in such a – I mean, Josh Allen hadn't won either. I mean, a lot of guys haven't won, right?
No, you're right.
But that they're playing for it. But Lamar's supposed to win right now, and he is different than all the rest of these people in the way that the game is played and the way that anybody could have had him 10 months ago and nobody wanted him.
I love Lamar. I think he's outstanding. You know, I think he's everything you want in an NFL quarterback, and I know from – knowing the Harbaugh family as I do, and of course having Jack Harbaugh, the dad, coach me in high school during the Michigan football camps, Lamar Jackson, I think, is to me, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the game. Everybody, I think, realizes that. And but Nestor, as you said, going to have to win now here in January. And I know as Ravens fans, hopefully it turns into February too. He's got to get that taken care of and accomplished. But, you know, if he does, I don't know how that he can't get all the accolades he so richly deserves as one of the very best quarterbacks in the National Football League.
It's a bizarre thing in Cleveland for the franchise itself, because it's Flacco, 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 but they got $200 million into Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
This is an interesting storyline in a town that loves to talk sports, and you're there, Michael, that if Flacco wins a game or two or three, I mean, if they go to the Super Bowl or whatever, like – they have a different quarterback. They have a guy they've already paid. And Flacco's not going to be the guy into the future. But this is a real here and now. I remember when Don Strzok was winning games back in the 80s and Strzok around the clock. This is a bizarre circumstance in the Wally Pipp you know, tradition of what this is and what this represents, that Joe Flacco's got 4 hours to win another Super Bowl and maybe write a different legacy for himself based on the defense and his pathway. But that franchise is still into another guy.
Being talked about around here, buddy. I mean, it really is already. And I said, well, let it play out. But to me, you know, Deshaun Watson, again, you know, he's got to be looked upon as your quarterback going in the future. As you said, you paid him a king's ransom to do that. But if Flacco were to, and I don't even think they got to win the Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of Browns fans. I don't know if it'd be the organization, but I know a lot of Browns fans are going to say, let's roll with Flacco if he happens to win a couple of playoff games here and say gets the Browns to an AFC championship game, if not the Super Bowl. They have that capability, but I would say, again, it'll probably be, if you're really breaking it down, Nestor, as much as, and again, I've marveled at what Flacco has done in this five-game run. He's quarterback. But if the Browns are going to go to those lengths that we just talked about, I still think it's going to have to be dominated by the defensive side of the football, which has been their calling card throughout the course of the year.
Michael Regai is our guest. He does games, lots and lots and lots of games. He has built a life around doing what I struggle to do, which is play-by-play. I wouldn't even begin the struggle. I just would have stunk. But he calls the games left to right on your radio dial and sometimes on television as well. He's been doing it for a lifetime now, and a lifetime of waiting for that Lions victory. Now, look, you're old enough that you talk about going there in the 50s. I mean, the Lions were good when you were a kid. When you were a kid, those Lions-Browns matchups were, like, legendary. They built the league.
Big time. That's exactly right. And you just showed me what a great NFL historian you are. That's right. Four times. I mean, I was born in 54. So, but I'm a little guy. But like I said, at 4 and 5 years old, I was there at those championship games. There was the Lions and the Browns at Old Tiger Stadium. Have great memories of it, even as that small a guy. But yeah, I mean, that was the NFL. That was the strength of the NFL, the Lions against the Browns during that time. Oh my, how a lot had changed since then, right? But look, I mean, to me, a Lions-Ravens, a Lions-Browns Super Bowl would be phenomenal. We'll see if that comes to pass, Nestor. A lot of football to be played. I wouldn't call any of them the favorites necessarily in their respective divisions. Ravens are. But, yeah, I would love to see it. If it happens, it's great. I think it'd be just outstanding for the NFL.
Man, a Plimpton reading of all things Lions. We might as well be at the AC Lindell, or Lindell AC, Lindell AC is where we should be. I had a hot dog and a beer in there one time. So, apparently it's legendary because the Orioles clinched the 69 or 70 pennant in Detroit and went there and ripped it up with Boone Powell. There's a story about that. So the legend exists. Michael Regeye is still in the land of Cleve, still wearing that beautiful Honolulu blue hat of the Detroit Lions. And hey, it's football playoffs. This is a lot of fun, right? You love football. I love football. I talk about seeing Namath as a kid in 72, 73.
Oh, yeah.
My dad took falling in love with the Oilers and Dan Pastorini and Earl Campbell in the 70s. Like, it is a lifetime affliction and addiction. And I don't know what the hell we're going to do with this Peacock thing on Saturday. I don't know, but I
tell
you what.
I was hoping you'd give me some answers on that. What the hell we are going to do?
Give me an email address or something. I ain't getting my credit card, damn it. I like it. All right, Michael, take care of yourself. It's great to have you aboard.
Nestor, you too. Best all you and yours, man. And I hope, again, everybody is doing great in Charm City. You know you always have a strong place in my heart, buddy.
You know, when a rock star goes out and somebody like quotes their song to them as they're saying goodbye or something like that. But every time I have you on, I sort of quote you and I say, see you later. And your home run call that I'll remember the rest of my life. It'll always be yours when I say, see you later.
Appreciate it, buddy. All the best to you and yours, man. Talk
Michael
to you.
Right guy. Many years down at Camden Yards, now out in the land of Cleve, hoping, praying for a Flacco versus Ravens matchup. But more than that, just making sure they exterminate Matt Stafford at Ford Field on Saturday. We got football all weekend. Luke's out in Owings Mills. We're having fun. I got Maryland Lottery scratch-offs here. I got some O snaps. I'm going to be giving these away. I also have some unwrapped. The cash is still left. We are doing the Crab Cake Tour, but we're on a little bit of a hiatus here, just chilling out, waiting for the Super Bowl. We promise you on February 5th, we're going to roll it out. It's going to be called Crab Cake Row. It's going to have a great charity event. I think you're going to love it. It's going to be the biggest Radio Row Super Bowl week we've ever had here, and it's going to involve everybody in the audience doing great things and participating. I don't ask for much, but I'm going to ask each and every one of you for a little something to help some less fortunate people in the month of February as we're warm and they're cold. So hang in there. Be cold this weekend. I tell you what, we're going to watch football. We're going to chill out, and we're going to see who we got next week. It's a fun time around here. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.